And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. So I'm going into Dipper number two for the day. Redistricting inside the lines. In other words, I'm giving you the inside scoop on what's happening right now. There's a huge story right now out of Texas. Now listen, I've been a part of some redistricting fights when I was in the state Senate. Democrats can't stand it when they're not the ones in charge. They will scream and cry and carry on. I watched everything happen in Montgomery. I watched, every attempt at filibustering. I even saw, and this was so egregious, it was unbelievable. There was one individual who was probably going to get a Democrat get drawn out of his own district. And he was so mad that he went up there, he tried to filibuster for a while, and then he finally just asked for the bill to be read at length. Well, the bill being read at length is an old archaic tactic that dates back to the days when you didn't have copy machines and people could claim, I've not had a chance to actually read the bill because back then they didn't. And so you can ask for it to be read at length. Well, that rule still applies. It's still on the books. And the left especially loves to use it to slow down the processes. It delays the inevitable, in other words, you call for the vote, and before the vote, you can say to the president, I request the bill be read at length. And they pretty much have no choice but to do it. So-and-so requests the bill to be read at length. The clerk will begin to read the bill. Reading that bill on the redistricting fight that we were in 2011, was a day and a half in length, I believe. That's unbelievable. It was taking a day, somewhere around 9 hours into it, the guy agreed to go ahead and remove his request, and so it was shut off. It doesn't mean we didn't lose 9 hours though of legislative time. It's an archaic tactic. But then there is what's going on in Texas. So Texas right now is in the midst of a redistricting. I'll tell about how that's going in a minute. But the Democrats' means of handling it is to flee the Capitol. I kid you not. It reminds me of the scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail when the killer rabbit comes out of the cave. Run away! Run away! And they literally turn and just run away. And they're so proud of themselves. They're bold. They're taking a strong stand against Texas and Trump. Like, okay, Trump's not there drawing the lines. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, here's the other thing. Redistricting does not happen overnight. It doesn't. Redistricting is a big, long, drawn-out process. There are people who are paid experts who have to come in and draw the maps. And here's the other thing. State constitution requires they be drawn based upon population. In other words, you can't draw everybody into one district and leave somebody with a district that has 10 people in it. It doesn't work like that. They all have to be roughly the same size in terms of population within about a 2-3 or 4% margin of error. I mean, there's going to be onesies and twosies. You're not going to have an exact same number in every one. And you also try to keep certain, communities together. That's why in the last redistricting in Alabama, I wasn't part of that one, but Alabama drew what it thought was a fair and reasonable set of congressional districts in that case. And it kept whole communities together. And the court got involved, for reasons I'll talk about in a minute. The court got involved and said, no, Alabama, we don't like your drawings. Do them again. And Alabama said, nope, we're not going to do it again. We're done. So the court drew one for us. Now, it's being challenged. It's still underway right now. But the congressional district lines were redrawn by the court. And what did they do? They drew one that was decidedly Democrat, and they split Mobile in half. Really, really angered the citizens of Mobile. And I understand that. Now, some might say, well, that means Mobile's got two congresspeople. They didn't want two. They wanted one like they'd always had. So Mobile is now split in half. You can be literally across the street from somebody voting different than you in the congressional races. But redistricting is a huge deal, and it gets all kinds of attention. But what's happening in Texas right now is like a clown show. I'll tell you more about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Man, that sounds good right about now, too, to be honest with you. Meatloaf Monday. Here we are. So I'm in dipper number two, and we'll see how far we can get with this. But redistricting inside the lines. And I mentioned before that redistricting, let me recap what that is first in order to lay the stage. I know most of y'all already know, but for those who don't, I'm just going to say it real quick. Redistricting, whether it be your state legislative races, whether it be judicial races, whether it be congressional races, every state has to have them broken up into districts. And they have to have those, whether it be House or Senate, they have to, in the state level, they have to have congressional races. They have to have basically the lay of the land. You have to know who to vote for. And it's all based upon population. Every state is allocated certain members of Congress. We are allowed to have seven in Alabama. That's based on population. But then the seven are then broken down. And then the same is going for the state legislative races, House and Senate. You have to have them broken down by population. House is smaller. There's more members of the House. In Alabama, there's 105 members of the state House, and there's 35 members of the state Senate. Every Senate district does not look the same geographically. I used to chide my friend, Bill Holtzclaw, who was a state senator from Madison. It'd take him 10 minutes to drive across his district. You know why? Because the population in Madison was so condensed. So he got his population base from a smaller geographic area. Me, I had to, it'd take me 45 minutes sometimes to drive across the district. I would literally have to drive to Timbuktu to see the people up in Broomtown in Cherokee County. Very rural in some parts of my former state Senate district. So all that to say, it's based on population. When you draw those lines, there are experts that come in and they help you, and it's based upon the census. Everything's allowed to be done based upon the 10-year census. So the first time we did it was in 2011, based upon the 2010 census. You remember, we thought Alabama was going to lose some seats, and then lo and behold, we grew, whereas California and New York lost seats in Congress because they lost population base. Alabama stayed in a good position, and we kept all seven of our seats in Congress. Some states are huge, and they'll have, you know, 20, 30, 40 members of Congress like California. Some states like Alabama have seven. You got others that have a couple. But the reality is it's drawn based upon population. And there are rules to that. And people like to talk about gerrymandering. Every time you draw the lines is not a gerrymander. Sometimes you draw the lines, and I will say this. When you draw the lines, you have to draw them by population. So don't try to tell me you don't have enough, because you know you do. The question is, do you like what you got? That's where the fuss comes in. The fuss is always about, well, you tried to make it more Republican or you tried to make it more Democrat. Well, who's in charge? You know, elections have consequences. I'm sorry. For 136 straight years, the Democrats held control of the Alabama State House. Guess how they drew the lines? Well, you got behind closed doors in your smoky back rooms and you drew up your own districts. Did we? Did we really? Because it looks like, you know what, the state kind of turned red in its voting, and most of y'all got voted out anyway.
Are the back rooms actually smoky?
I've never seen a smoky back room.
Okay.
I've seen places where you look like they might have smoked back in the day.
Yeah, okay.
But I was never in a smoky back room.
No, I just always hear that, and I think it's
funny. I have been in a few back rooms.
I figured you have.
The back rooms do exist. You know what? That's where a lot of business gets done. That doesn't mean bad things. Sometimes it does. Doesn't always mean bad things. All right. That's redistricting, and you have to do it, and you have to do it. By law, you have to do it. The funny thing is, it's being done, and then it's being screamed about because it wasn't a certain way. Let's talk about Alabama for a minute. Alabama had a major case. We redrew after the 2020 census, the state House and Senate district lines, and the congressional lines. We were told all along that Alabama's a racist state. You're going to have pre-clearance. You're under the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. We're going to make sure you don't draw those race-conscious lines to protect all your white voters. And then what happens? Well, then we don't use race. And then they tell us, you didn't put enough black people in those districts. What? After 2011, when we drew the lines, the screams were that we had stacked and packed, they called it, stacking and packing black people into certain districts. Really? I know we didn't. That's where they live. What do you want us to do? That's where they live. If there's more black people in Greene County than there are in, say, Madison County, I can't help that. That's where they live. No, you stacked and packed them. That way they're diminished in quality. They cannot impact the broader whole. So now you want us to use race to spread them out? Really? And then what happened in 2020? Drew the lines. You didn't put enough black people in certain districts. Wait. What's the rule? What's the rule? Is the rule that we can, you know, consider race? Or can we not consider race? And it's the most asinine thing. Well, basically, you're danged if you do, danged if you don't, because Democrats are going to sue no matter what you do. So you go ahead and you just do it. So they drew the lines in 2020 in Alabama, and it went to court. And the three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit decided that I wasn't there, but you know what I mean, that Alabama didn't draw good lines. And so they had to go back and do it again. The interesting thing is, Alabama decided to go ahead and say, you know what, no. We drew what we drew. If you don't like it, then fine. Tell us what you want us to do, but it's not going to be redrawing the lines. I thought that was rather bold, to be honest with you. And it wasn't like a defying the orders of the court. It was more along the lines of saying, if we go back and draw again, we're just going to draw the same thing. So, what do you want to do? So the court drew it for us. And we now have Shamari Figures as a member of Congress, who never could have gotten elected in what used to be the district he's now in. We now have two Democrats where we used to have one. Why is that? Because the court got involved, and the court decided to make sure that it favored race and, oh, by the way, we really believe favored Democrats. I had John Wall on the show from the Alabama Republican Party who said, let's be honest, this was a district drawn to give Democrats more representation in state politics in Alabama. Wow. And as a result, it split Mobile in half, and it drew lines that you look at and go, what, really? And that's what it took for the court to decide that it had something that, I don't know, met the new race standard we were told didn't exist. All right, where is that thing now? Well, Alabama eventually agreed to go ahead and accept these redistricting lines drawn by the court and to not challenge them again as a state until we get to the next census in 2030. Okay. Thought it was over? Sorry. It's not. We've got a situation right now where the Justice Department, U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, Prim Escalona, just filed something saying, hey, we don't need more preclearance because there's now another challenge because Democrats are never satisfied. They don't want to stick with what they got. They want to demand that not only do we stick with what the court drew, but that we have to, as a state, submit to what's known as preclearance once again. What does that mean? Preclearance is when you say, hey, state of Alabama, we just don't trust you. So you've got to send your lines to the federal government and we'll take 60 days to review them before you're allowed to implement them for a vote. And we'll tell you whether you're good people or bad people or not. It's really big government. It's really awful. It's really not necessary. We're really way beyond all that. But the plaintiffs in the case that sued about the lines in the first place have now brought another demand for preclearance, and arguments have been heard. Well, the U.S. Attorney's Office is saying that's not necessary. Could we please stop this? And asking the court, filing a brief in the situation, asking the court to not give credence to the argument that we need preclearance. All right, do you see what I'm saying? When I say all this, I'm about to dive into what's happening in Texas, but I think you need to know that we have active litigation going on right now, even in Alabama. We have active litigation going on pretty much all over the nation. The Democrats especially are never satisfied. By the way, they are the worst gerrymanderers in the world. Have you ever looked at Illinois? Have you ever looked at their districts? They make no sense. They draw long, thin fingers in order to reach through to get a few more Democrat voters and bring them into a district just to make it, I don't know, blue. They're scared to death of the idea that if they drew lines that looked like they made sense, you know, that you, Listen, I've been in the room when they talked about where the lines were going to fall. I've also fussed. I have fussed about my own district. Why are you taking my St. Clair County people? If you're going to do that, then by God, quit splitting my Cherokee County people. And I've had those discussions before. I have. But in the end, you know what it comes down to? A plan gets published, and a plan gets voted on by the legislature. And once the legislature has spoken, remember, elections have consequences. That means technically the representation of the people of the state have now spoken. And yet the Dems are never satisfied with that process. Alabama's going through it like right now, again. We'll see where it goes. In the meantime, Texas is quite the story. We'll get back from this break. I'll tell you more about it. Maybe even have a sound clip to talk to hear from what the actual state legislature just did. But yes, redistricting is like, whew, a fight in Texas. Dems don't fight, they run. We'll talk about it more in a minute. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a piece here off of LifeSet, Dateline Today. Supreme Court signals an interest in a major voting rights case that could reshape House control. What does this mean? Redistricting again. So redistricting, there's a case called Louisiana v. Calais. So the outcome of this case is said to be able to carry nationwide implications, including the possibility that, you know, you could see the redrawing of dozens of House districts around the nation, shifting the whole political landscape. Here's the deal. At the center of that whole case, and this is interesting that we're watching right now, is the Supreme Court has not taken it up officially, but they did ask the Solicitor General to kind of weigh in on it and give them thoughts, which means that they've expressed interest. At the center of the case is whether that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act permits a race-conscious creation of congressional districts. In other words, what Alabama was just told we had to do. See, here's the thing. The case that I'm talking about that Alabama dealt with is called Allen v. Milligan. And in Allen v. Milligan, the Supreme Court weighed in, but they left a piece undone. And they do that a lot. They get to where they don't want to decide everything. So they, you know, unless you ask specifically, or they might take up an issue and say that finding that issue now precludes any need to deal with the other issues. The end result is, in the case for Alabama, Allen v. Milligan, the justices preserved the current interpretation of Section 2, but they left open the question of how far race-based considerations can actually go. And that's a big deal. They left this nebulous piece there where they kind of questioned it, but they declined to respond at that point or answer at that point. Their opinion stopped short. Now what we're looking at, though, is Louisiana v. Calais takes that exact issue, and they're expressing interest in taking up Louisiana v. Calais. We'll find out soon, but here's the thing. If the court winds up doing a broad ruling on this thing and decides that you just can't, you know what, you got to stop using race. You can't say one way or the other. You can't say race this, race not that. You can't. If they go down that road, there are some political analysts that are saying that the ripple effect would result in Republicans gaining as many as 20 to 25 seats in the House, depending upon how states respond to it. I can tell you right now, Alabama will respond. We'll start redrawing lines. Now, what's happening in Texas? Texas is like a goat rodeo right now, man. Texas has turned into a clown show. It is a circus. So, one thing I will say, Alabama Daily News, we had Todd Stacey on earlier. I saw an article on his site. One thing I did not know was, I will say this, Texas Republicans have gone down a road that people didn't expect. Redistricting, they do that, right? Yeah, every 10 years. They decided to do an extra one. What? Yes. They're calling it a mid-cycle redistricting. Pray tell, how does this work? How can you do that? Well, because the law says they shall redraw every 10 years, but it doesn't say they're confined just to 10 years. And the interpretation now by the Texas Republicans is they can do it every year if they want to. Well, now, so in this whole reapportionment process or redistricting, state constitutions, you know, set the things in motion. So state constitutions will govern. Texas Constitution says you have to redistrict after every census, but it doesn't say you can't do it more. So what Texas has done is stepped into the role of being the foil. They are the ones saying, hey, you know what? I think we're going to do that now. Because we can. And the Democrats are freaking out. Democrats are having a complete come apart because they didn't think of it when they had the chance. But Democrats are like, you can't do this. Yes, actually, they can. And they are. And they've drawn it. So what did the Democrats do? They fled. You have to have a quorum to vote. So in order to prevent the vote on the... By the way, this is not new. They've been drawing these lines for a while. I started to say earlier, I've been in the rooms where they're drawing... It takes months, literally months, to draw these things up. You can't do them overnight. There's going to be hearings. There's going to be experts involved. There's going to be mapping. There's going to be, you know, any number of census scrutiny. There's going to be all kinds of things have to happen. And Democrats are just now going, but you can't do that. Well, we are, and we have been for months. Where you been? And they have now fled the state. Not just the Capitol, they have fled the state in order to avoid allowing a quorum to be called for the vote. It's unbelievable. They are so in the minority in Texas. It's like Alabama in many ways. They are out of 150 members of the House, only a third of those are Democrats. And they have now fled to various states. Most of them went to Illinois, which, by the way, the deep irony there is that Illinois Democrats are the gerrymander kings. They've been like drawing crazy lines in Illinois for God knows how long. Probably mafia run half the time. So you've got the Democrats fleeing to Governor Pritzker's, take care of us, Governor Pritzker, we need. And then they're going online on their social medias. You can see them. It's all like, we're taking a stand. No, you're not. You ran away. If you want to take a stand, go back and do what you were elected to do. You weren't elected to run away when a vote you didn't like came up. What happens next time when there's a budget bill you don't like? What happens when there's a tax raise you don't like? What happens when, do you just run away when you don't like it? Is that the way this works? My God, what soldier gets that kind of mission in life? You don't like it? Run away! Democrats in Texas, it's a clown show, man. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it when we get back. Like, I don't know, are they going to go to jail? Governor Abbott just weighed in. I'll tell you about it. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, whew, I mean, goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. And then, oh, by the way, there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and streaming the show live every day. Streaming it from all over the place. I'm talking about like foreign countries even. Streaming the show on places like X, YouTube, right, our rightsidemedia.org website, Facebook, all of it. And then the podcasters who catch it after the fact, we know you're there too. I'm saying all this to say we love this audience. We know you're out there. In whatever way you get the show, thank you. It means the world to us. Thank you very much. I'm doing this redistricting thing. I got to tell you, maybe one of the funniest articles I've seen. Lifeset again says that U.S. Representative Jasmine Crockett is freaking out because she saw the lines and says, I do not currently reside in my district based upon the plan that has been drawn. Whew. Cracks me up, man, when you surprise me with the panicking call.
You could have just, you know, replaced the quote with that sound. Pretty much what it was.
Said the map, if approved, would redraw 5 Democrat-held seats and create potentially 3 new Republican-leaning districts while also shifting 2 additional districts into Republican-favored territory. I mean, I understand the Democrats are mad. Story here also on Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. I go these places so you don't have to. Over 50 Texas Democrats fled the state Sunday in an attempt to prevent Republicans from holding a vote in the state house. Here's my question. Are you just never going to go home? Because I'm pretty sure they can convene the legislature at the call of the governor. He can call you into special session. Are you going to keep running away? Is that the way this works? We can't ever go home. We can't see our wives and children anymore, our families, our jobs, all the things. You know, it's ridiculous. Attorney General Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton threatened to go hunt down Democrats, said they ought to be arrested. Well, guess what? Greg Abbott said he will take action to, quote, remove missing Democrats from membership in the Texas House if they're not back by Monday afternoon. The truancy ends now, he said. Apparently, there is a clause within the Texas state law that does allow for those who abandon their posts, abandon or abdicating the duties of their office to be removed from office. And there, you know what? Maybe they went to Illinois. You and I were talking about why they go to Illinois. It may have something to do with extradition authority. So Abbott says he will use extradition authority to demand the return to Texas of any potential out-of-state felons because apparently it's a felony to abandon your office under Texas state law. Interesting. So they went where they went to a state where they knew there ain't no way in the world they'd ever get extradited. That's what they did. They went to a safe haven. They found a sanctuary state for abandoning your post, lawmakers. Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott just texted in about the last 30 minutes, or tweeted, I'm sorry, and he posted, he said, Texas governor orders the arrest of Democrats who fled the state. That's the governor himself tweeting that. You also said you've got a sound clip from the Texas state legislature. They convened for the purpose of calling the roll, determining there was no quorum, immediately said they had to adjourn, but not until something else happened. You want to play it? All right, go ahead and play it.
As the motion prevails, the sergeant-at-arms and any officers appointed by her are directed to send for all absentees whose attendance is not excused for the purposes of securing and maintaining their attendance under warrant of arrest, if necessary, until further order of the House.
Under warrant of arrest, if necessary. Well, so they ain't playing. First of all, Democrats, let me just give you some advice. You cannot claim to be bold if you're running away. It doesn't work like that. You're not allowed to stake your claim on that being a sign of your courage and bravery. That's a misnomer. That is absolutely asinine. That is jackassery of the highest order. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and ask for the jackassery sound effect now, too, if you don't mind. Just hit me some jackassery. Thank you. You are well off into jackassery land. You are screaming as panickens and acting as jackasseries at every given turn. We're watching cacistocracy. I'm using all the words. I'm using all the famous right side words. Cacistocracy, the governance of a governing body by the least competent of its citizens. All right, so the bottom line is this. Democrats are scared, so they ran. And it's shameful. Absolutely shameful.
I do have to ask, though. Are you worried? Are you worried that this may set a precedent that, you know, if Texas is saying, well, you know, you're I guess technically supposed to do it after every census, but really, you really can just do it however you want. Is that just the Texas Constitution that says that? Or is that going to set a precedent where, like, California is like, okay, we'll just redraw districts anytime we want, and it's just going to start a domino effect? Is Texas doing it to gain more Republican seats or whatever? Is that worth what it's going to do long term? Could it do more damage than anything?
Right now, Texas doesn't care.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's...
Texas has weighed the odds and said, we're in. So, first of all, I'll tell you, it will depend upon every state's constitution. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I've never read the provision with that thought in mind, but I don't know that Alabama's would allow that. I think it's going to be every state's constitution is going to determine whether they can or not, and you can't just change a constitution. You can't go into the state house and quickly pass a bill that changes the constitution. It requires a referendum of the people. So a constitutional change in Alabama would require first a vote of the legislature, then a signature of the governor, followed by a vote of the people at the ballot box to say whether you do or don't want that enacted in our constitution. So even if Alabama wanted to change it to be able to do that, assuming we don't already have it, it wouldn't be a simple, quick process.
So, and I also see that in, and I think, is Texas that worried that they may lose red seat? Like, I'm like, why would they, like, if they're comfortable, I don't know. I guess I'm just worried that them doing this is going to cause more damage long term than anything.
Oh, I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying it. This is a mid cycle a review or a redistricting or reapportionment of the lines. It's not normal. This is not what usually happens. So I get that part. But then again, here's the other piece. Elections have consequences. If your state is a majority Republican, That means the state wanted majority Republicans in those offices to make those decisions. If the state law, the Constitution, is already either specific or at least vague enough to be interpreted in a certain way, and they're acting on it, I feel certain they could have done what we did in Alabama multiple times and get what's called an opinion of the justices. That's where, before something is enacted, we get an opinion of the justices. Will this stand up? Apparently, somewhere along the line, they got all the comfort factor they needed and then went, why not?
Yeah.
And elections have consequences. The Constitution allows it. They took months to draw the lines. They're bringing it to a vote of the duly elected members of the body, and the Democrats don't like the fact that they're outnumbered. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I mean, Democrats, you can't just leave.
That's so lame.
Like, what do you think? Your constituents are going to be happy that they voted for you just to leave, literally just to run away? And I think it's funny that Democrats act like, okay, if you want to say this is some political gamesmanship or whatever, okay, but like, the Democrats are the kings of that. Like, the kings of political gamesmanship. You look at the reconciliation bill, that was literally started by Nancy Pelosi to get the Affordable Care Act across the line. So it's like, that this is what they do, okay? So you can be upset about it, but it's like, okay, well, you do the same thing. So you can't just run away.
It's something that's going to wind up playing out. But, you know, the thing I go back to on this too is, they ran away. Is that the new precedent? You're talking about setting precedent a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Is this the new precedent too? When you don't like it, you just run away.
I love them taking videos in front of a plane too. Like the Democrats from Texas, like you're not hiding the fact. You're literally just, I'm about to hop on this plane and I'll tell you why. It's like, I don't care why. What are you doing?
Social media is ripping them a new one right now too.
Yeah.
And they deserve it. You know, here's the bottom line. In fact, I tell you what, I just realized Fox has a top headline called Texas Dems Ripped for Their Cartoonishly Dumb Strategy to Flee to Blue State, Notorious for Gerrymandering. And it talks about the fact that social media is ripping them a new one. You know, they can't be called heroes when they run away. That's not how this works. The world doesn't turn that way. There are no movies made about people who were heroes because they hid. That's not how this works. You're not going to find anyone who's going to look at this in the long term and go, that was so bold that they did that. I'm inspired by it. I want to be like them. I want them to write a book. And movies, statues should be made. All of it. No. Sooner or later, they got to go home. So all they're doing now is delaying the inevitable. This is sort of like having the bill read at length. It means nothing in the end.
And I think I said this to you off the air. I think they knew full well they were going to be arrested. I think they're just trying to be martyrs.
That's the other thing. Are they going to be arrested? I don't know yet. It's going to be interesting. Or are they going to be removed from office?
Like they want. It's almost like I think they want to get arrested to be like, look, they're arresting their political opponents. You can't do that. That this is what they're trying to do.
And I don't know what the standard is. If the removal from office that's allowed for abandonment, what constitutes abandonment? Then you have to get into the definition of what is abandonment. And is there any precedent in this? It's kind of like when we had the impeachment proceedings brewing for Governor Robert Bentley. Turns out nobody had ever done it before. It was in the law, but there was no procedure for how it's done. So guess who got to be the one who drew it? That was me. I got assigned the task of helping draw the ability to impeach a government official because we had no procedure. I guarantee you there's not been a whole lot of history in Texas on how to arrest somebody who so-called abandons their post.
Yeah, there probably isn't.
Let me get a few text messages before I go to the break. John from Brownsboro, I'm glad Texas is firing back at the Dems. The last two times that I know of, they fled to Oklahoma and spent several weeks in a hotel to avoid a vote. It was a bad precedent to set. If they blatantly abdicate their post, then yeah, throw them all out. I'm with you. Thomas from Athens says, apologies to the Kingston Trio and their song, quote, but will they ever return? No, they'll never return. They are fini and are still unlearned. Dems will hide together in Chicago basements. These lawmakers will never return. Paul from Athens says, I did not know that. Paul from Athens says, too bad there's no law about obstructing a quorum and fleeing the state you serve. No doubt. I got a quick call I'll take. Do I have time? It's going to be quick. I got about a minute. Rusty from Harvest. Hey, Rusty, how you doing?
Hi, this is a repeat performance by the Dems.
Oh, yeah, it is.
They did this once before in Texas. And the governor sent out the, state troopers and rangers to go find them all and drag them back into the legislature.
So that's what we need. We need Walker. We need Walker, Texas Ranger, to go find them now.
That's right. But you know, they know better now, so they've run away to another state.
Yep.
What cowards.
Absolutely, what cowards. Rusty, I got to run to a break. Thanks for the call, man.
All right.
Take care. Yeah, it's amazing. Let's go ahead and take the break right now. We'll take it. We'll come right back. Y'all, this is not the way life is supposed to be. We don't like it. Run away! Run away! Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Chris from Gadsden checked in. He said, I think the courts drew the lines for the greater African-American representation while Hispanics are the largest minority. That's interesting. Rap from Athens says, why did they stop growing the House based on population? I don't know what you mean, because they still... Oh, growing the House. I guess, well, anyway, the bottom line is they still divide up by a certain percentage, and there's a calculated formula for that. Dave from Capshaw says, let ICE bring back the Texas legislators for violating state lines. That's funny. Grades are in. John from Huntsville says, JP and Todd Stacy both get an A-plus for their equally outstanding performances, which means today's winner with an A-double-plus is obviously the magnificent Phil Williams. Thank you, sir. For his absolutely brilliant performance. Congratulations, and I hope you have some spectacular meatloaf for dinner tonight. John from Huntsville. Appreciate you, John. Let me go to the phones right now because our brethren on the road, Jeff Rowe from Indiana, is on the line. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm stuck in Nashville trying to get through this mess.
Well, so you hit the major slowdown, huh?
Yeah. It's one I didn't slow down for a wreck or something. Right before I got here, I got passed by this truck has radar in it. I can tell how fast the person in front of me is going. I had a guy pass me in a 65 mile an hour zone at 127 mile an hour.
Wow. In a car, yeah. Or a motorcycle?
In a car, a Beamer. Yeah.
Wow.
And then you wonder why they call this Crashville. Because usually I see those guys up the road a little ways that just wiped out somebody.
Wow.
You never know.
I have no way of knowing whether or not my 68 Mustang could ever go that fast back in the day. Anyway, that's another story.
Maybe.
Well, what do you think about all this stuff with the Texas Democrats fleeing the state, man?
I think they ought to be, if they can, just arrest them and bring them back. And then... if there's possible, I'd strip them of their office. I mean, that's what needs to be done. Let them stay in Illinois. They deserted their state and everything. Well, let's let them become Illinois.
Well, I think we're about to see whether they fooled around and found out because that's exactly one of the options that the governor is considering. And the Texas House Republicans just issued the statement that the sergeant at arms should have word sent that they will be arrested. So I don't know. That's why they're hiding their state, because they're outside the jurisdiction. They don't want to be brought in, if you know what I'm saying. It's a goat rodeo.
As far as jurisdiction goes, why can't somebody from the state of Alabama sue the federal government for discrimination? Because if they drew redistricted your lines based upon race, I thought we was through with that already.
Yeah, we thought we were too. Well, we did. We fought it as a state, and then eventually decided it became kind of a moot point. It was getting past elections, so we had to go ahead and move forward because members of Congress were running for office and weren't sure whether they were going to run for a seat that they weren't going to have a year later. So the state acquiesced and decided to go ahead and accept it for now. But I guarantee you, we're going to try and get all the rules in place before the next time it's drawn.
What's funny is that if this would be the late 1800s or early 1900s, the Democrats would be up in arms because the blacks would all be Republican, as they used to be. They would be having a fit.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, they're going to remember one day. I think that's why you're starting to see that the word's kind of getting out. Democrats don't do what they say they'll do. And, oh, by the way, Democrats were the ones who fought civil rights, and they were the ones who fought the idea of emancipation. It's crazy.
Yeah, back, like I say, after the Civil War, you couldn't find a black that was a Democrat unless they was just forced to be.
Wow.
So,
interesting thought.
How times have changed.
How indeed they have. Well, I'm interested to see what happens with these Democrats hiding out in Illinois right now. Governor Pritzker, by the way, J.B. Pritzker, the super partisan liberal Democrat governor of Illinois, just issued a statement, and all he said was, "Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is a coward." That's what he said. I mean, it's just unreal.
Gee, that's like the pot calling the kettle black.
No doubt. While he harbors all the runaways, he's calling the other guy a coward. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I am up against the break, so brother, you be safe on the road. We'll catch you tomorrow, all right?
All right, Phil. You all have a good one.
You too, buddy. Well, I am right up at it, and I got about 30 seconds. Let me grab one quick text message, because it was John from Lexington, South Carolina. It says, "Why does the Supreme Court allow Illinois, California, and New York congressional gerrymandering, but the Alabama districts were disapproved?" Because we were under what's known as a Voting Rights Act condition. We were held to an old standard dating back to the days of the Civil Rights Movement, and they weren't. Because they were good. Remember? They were good. All right. That's it, you guys. That's amazing. What a day. I didn't even get through all my dippers. But hey, listen, the bottom line is there's more of us than there are of them. Oh, by the way, God is still on his throne. And yes, y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.